following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
If you're a homeowner who's faithfully made your mortgage payments, you deserve thanks for doing the right thing. And I'd like to tell you about a powerful financial tool that rewards your commitment. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. And the tool that I'm talking about is the Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. HARP is designed to help you lower your mortgage payments. It's for homeowners who are current on their mortgage payments, but due to the housing market, may have little or no equity left in their home. And even if you were unable to get a HARP loan in the past, new guidelines mean that now you may be eligible. More than 2.5 million homeowners have already taken advantage of HARP and are saving an average of $250 a month. If you're one of the millions yet to take advantage, call us today at 800-QUICKEN. To learn more, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That number again is 800-QUICKEN.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 30.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. Doug Duda on this Thursday. We're going to talk football. We're going to talk wrestling. We're going to talk volleyball. It's all coming up in the next hour, plus some basketball chat as well. So if you'd like to join us, we'd love to hear from you. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Of course, you can always email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Our Twitter address is at ESPN1460-1550, and you can Facebook us at ESPN Superstation. You'll need some of that information if you'd like to ask Luke Hoover a question from RotoWire. He'll join us again at the end of the program to answer your fantasy football questions. He's been with us all season long, and I hope he's done your team well. And if he has, you're probably playing in your league's Super Bowl this weekend. So Luke will give you the very latest on your fantasy football team. So email, Facebook, tweet us your questions, and we'll ask them of Luke. We'll also be talking with Chip Towers of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution at the bottom of the hour with the Georgia Bulldogs. We've had Chip on before, talked to him last year a couple of times leading up to the bowl game, and we're anticipating another good chat with Chip. And Mike Shadwinkle, the head wrestling coach of the five-time defending state wrestling champions from Grand Island, will join us at the start of our next segment as they're setting up for the Flatwater Fracas. It's all getting underway tomorrow at the Heartland Events Center, the two-day event. In just the time that the Fracas has developed itself, so many more of these types of tournaments have popped up around Nebraska and its borders, like the teams that went to Council Bluffs this past weekend. We'll talk to Mike about all the teams that are coming in from a variety of states and where the powers will be and about his team as well. So that's what we've got here in the next hour. We hope you can stay with us as you're finishing up work, maybe getting some holiday goodies at work. Maybe you got a day off or you're figuring out what you're going to do with the kids when they get two full weeks off from a school. So glad you're with us. Wow, people. It's not a sporting story, but the biggest story in the world. The world! Phil from Duck Dynasty. Yikes! Dude! God, don't have an opinion. Woo! Phil! So you're doing an interview in a magazine about your life, your personal beliefs. You're answering the questions that the reporter asks you. And for being honest, you're suspended from a television show from which you didn't make those comments on. Wow. Good ratings boost there, as if A&E needed it. I know Duck Dynasty fans are all over the place, and we're not going to get into a political or religious debate here on this show today, but I think in Nebraska, we know which side of the fence the Cornhusker faithful are on, or Nebraskans are on with this one. But boy, it'll spike their ratings even more. Already the most watched cable show out there. Crazy, crazy. Good NBA game last night. I continue to be amazed at how many people hate the Miami Heat. Miami comes back from 15 down to the second half to beat Indiana. Glad they did, so we didn't have to keep hearing about this. Oh, Indiana's really the best team. Personally, I like Miami. I like watching LeBron James. I like watching Dwayne Wade. It is weird because I think, hands down, LeBron James is the best basketball player on the planet, and people don't root for him. Yet in baseball, I think a lot of people, you know, who would you say is the best baseball player? At the time, for a while there, people thought it might have been Derek Jeter, and that's just a Yankees deal. In the NFL, who's the best player? Peyton Manning? I don't really hear a lot of people that, unless you're a Chief fan, I don't really hear a lot of people that hate the Broncos. And I never definitely heard anybody that hated the Colts. So why is it that they hate the Heat? Or is it they just hate LeBron? You can chime in if you're on either side of that fence today at 888-455-ESPN. Congratulations to Eric Strand. He is going into another Hall of Fame. We had him on here recently as he went into the UNK Hall of Fame. Now he's going into the Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference Hall of Fame, talking with Peter Yazvak, Sports Information Director, last season at this time. You kind of figured when UNK left the RMAC, probably wouldn't see a lot of guys going to the Hall of Fame, but the conference is over like 100 years old, and this is only the 12th banquet, 12th get-together for the Hall of Fame, and it'll be in July in Colorado Springs. But during the time UNK was in the conference, you always saw people being inducted and teams being inducted and individuals being inducted that were no longer in the conference. And the first person that has ties to UNK since leaving the RMAC is Eric Strand, and obviously he deserves to be in. He is UNK's all-time leading scorer, a two-time All-American, a two-time RMAC Player of the Year, scored 2,173 points in his career, made four All-American teams during his senior year, and each of his four seasons, UNK advanced to the NCAA tournament, going to the Sweet 16 for the first time ever in 99, and that kind of set the table for the team that continued there during that run, a great basically 10-year run for the Lopers, and a team that eventually ended up going to the Elite Eight in Lakeland, Florida in 2003. So congratulations to Eric Strand. One other name that Loper folks might know is Shadron State Sports Information Director from 89 to 2007. Con Marshall is also going in to the RMAC Hall of Fame. Five athletes, two individuals, and one team going into the RMAC Hall of Fame. So congratulations again to Eric Strand out of Grand Island. He is going in to the RMAC Hall of Fame, and I know he'll be looking forward to putting together a riveting speech for that induction ceremony. We've got basketball action tonight, speaking of hoops, and on our network of stations, a couple of games. There's not a very busy lineup tonight. Quite a few of the schools will wrap up tomorrow. There's some on Saturday. Then we're into the five-day moratorium from the 22nd to the 26th. No practices, no activities for high schools across the state of Nebraska. Gibbon is at Ravenna. Classic hits, 98.9. That boys game should be a doozy tonight. Gibbon may be favored for the first time in a long time, with both these teams unbeaten and in the top 10. And on the Breeze, 94.5 FM, Grand Island Central Catholic will be taking on Minden. Start time is approximately 6 o'clock for both. You can also hear them online at PlatteRiverPreps.com. Amherst.com. A couple other area matchups tonight. Blue Hill is at Wood River, and Amherst is at Anselmo Myrna. So congratulations there. And one other little note that we want to throw out there before we talk to Mike Shadwinkle and take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show is we want to congratulate Scott Sherman. He has been named the Golf Course Superintendent of the Year. He is the superintendent at the Kearney Country Club. The award was given last month for his work over the last 4 years, and he is the president of the Nebraska Golf Course Superintendents Association. And Scott, congratulations for all that they have done to keep things going there with the Kearney Country Club and all the improvements and the work they've done around Lake Kearney there. And just to all the guys out there, everybody knows I like to golf. I'm no good at it, but hey, congratulations. Any honor like that, well-deserved and worth noting and publicizing here on this show. Andy from Midway is going to slide by and join us here in a little bit on the Doug and Daddy Show as well. But when we come back, we'll talk wrestling. Mike Shadwinkle, head wrestling coach at Grand Island, Flatwater Fracas after this.
Surviving the holidays and maintaining your waistline takes more than willpower, unless you've got Complete Nutrition on your side. If it's stress, appetite control, or just having the peace of mind knowing you'll make it through the holidays without packing on the pounds, just come into Complete Nutrition today. We have custom plans and products that'll be focused on you. For a limited time, you can play our scratch card game and win big. You can even get your entire purchase for free. You're guaranteed to win at least 25%, maybe 50%, 75%, or even 100%. 100% off your entire purchase. Lose the stress, avoid the guilt, and be in control of your health this season. Stop into Complete Nutrition today to play our guaranteed to win scratch card game for 25, 50, 75, even 100% off your entire purchase. Hurry in before this offer runs out.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
Got a golfer to give a gift to? Good thing there's Golfsmith. Their team gets golfers. In fact, they're experts, golf gift experts, and they know the perfect gift for your golfer, like the brand new SLDR driver, TaylorMade's new game changer with more loft, distance, and adjustability that's already made it the number one driver on tour, or the highly adjustable R1 driver, available now at the lowest price guaranteed. Shop Golfsmith and Golfsmith.com and give the perfect round.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, and right now during Happy Honda Days, you could get a great deal on a 2013 Civic. It's packed with standard features like hands-free calling, and it's the first car in its class to receive an IIHS Top Safety Pick Plus. And if that's not special enough, drink in this holiday ditty from the legendary pipes of Michael Bolton. Everything's a little more special during Happy Honda Days. See your Honda dealer.
More high school basketball takes you into the Christmas break this week on our network of stations and PlatteRiverPreps.com. Thursday, on the Breeze, 94.5 FM, Grand Island Central Catholic is at Minden, and on Classic Hits 98.9, Gibbon is at Ravenna. Then Friday on Classic Hits, Elm Creek is at Kearney Catholic. On 1230 KHAS, Cozad is at Hastings, and here on ESPN Radio, Lincoln Northeast is at Kearney High. Saturday, Pleasanton's at Wilcox Hildreth on Classic Hits. But Thursday, Gibbon Ravenna Classic Hits, Central Catholic Minden on the Breeze.
With partly to mostly cloudy skies across the area today, temperatures will stay fairly steady around the low 30s as northeast winds stay at 10 to 20. For tonight, there's a slight chance for snow showers with a low of 8. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 30.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. Mistletoe hung where you can see every couple tries to stop.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Bruce Furniture, Kearney, Hastings, Holdred, and Alliance wishing everyone a Merry Christmas and inviting you to stop by any of their four locations or check them out at brucefurniture.com as you are filling in your holiday time. Maybe you've got something going on in a couple of weekends. Maybe you've got the family coming in. Maybe you want to spruce up the living room. Maybe you just need a little something extra for the bedroom. Maybe it's a gift for yourself. You'll be able to find it at Bruce Furniture, where they have been in business for 36 years, competing with big chains and quantity buying and freight charges. so that you, the customer, always get the lowest price. As important, they maintain that small-town, family-owned business attitude of taking care of each customer individually. Whatever color, size, style you want, they'll be able to work it out for you at Bruce Furniture with free delivery, free setup, and free haul away with some great, great brand names, only the best, like Lane, Lazy Boy, Ashley, Best Chairs. If you're looking for good sleepwear, how can you beat Serta, Tempur-Pedic, Southern Motion? It's all there for you, Chromecraft, at Bruce Furniture. Kearney, Hastings, Holdridge, and Alliance, just right for you, wishing all of their customers, old and maybe new, a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Coming up on the program, Mike Shadwinkle is going to join us, talk a little wrestling, Grand Island, Flatwater Fracas going on Friday and Saturday at the Heartland Events Center. We're going to talk with the Chip Towers of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution coming up at the bottom of the hour, talk a little Georgia football. As we talked with Sipple yesterday, Steve Sipple, and he said, you know, I haven't dove too deep into breaking down the game, and I think that's where a lot of us are at right now. I mean, we're still a couple of weeks away from this game kicking off, but as I start to look at it, the more I start to look at it, I'm wondering how Georgia got it done. And that's what I want to know from Chip. They lost a ton of guys from last year's team defensively, and then they relied on Aaron Murray offensively, and then they find a little nugget here in the running back position over the conference portion of the season. But they score a lot, and they give up a lot. And those games, I guess, haven't necessarily been kind to Nebraska, although they seem to be, outside of that Washington game 3 years ago, they seem to always give a very good effort in the bowl game and seem to play pretty good. Sometimes some of the same mistakes crop up, but looking forward to it. I think it'll be a good game. It'll be worth getting up on New Year's Day to watch Nebraska-Georgia, so we'll talk with Chip about that. And don't forget, get your fantasy football questions in for Luke Hoover of RotoWire. But right now, let's head on over to Grand Island, the Heartland Events Center, where they're busy setting up for the annual Flatwater Fracas, and Grand Island coach Mike Shadwinkle joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you guys doing?
How long do I need to talk to you so you don't have to do any more work, so you're on a long well, break here?
Yeah. The longer the better, because I think we're getting close, and if I don't have to go back to work right away, that's all right.
Mike, we'll dive into the fracas here in a little bit, but let's talk about the Islanders' season so far. Got a chance to see you the first weekend. You got that dual win over Columbus on opening night. You win a tight race, I think, over a pretty surprising Kearney team on that first Saturday at the Kearney Invite. And then last week, you finished second at the 2018 Council Bluffs get-together. And just tell me where you think your team is at right now, because I know you're not where you think you will be as far as at least personnel-wise in February.
No, we should be fairly close this weekend. We're hoping we should have everybody back, and our lineup should be back in order. And so, you know, we're kind of piecing it together. It's early in the season, and, you know, sometimes everything doesn't just fall into place just like you want it to. So, you know, we feel like we're in pretty good shape. We're building, and we're getting everybody together and trying to put together the best lineup we can.
Mike, out of the 14 weight classes, how many would you say the kids are have been there the first 2 weeks that you expect to be there when it comes post-season time?
Oh, I'd say we're probably 90-95%. You know, I mean, this weekend we'll have, I feel like we'll probably have 90-95%, if not our entire lineups together for this weekend. So, you know, I think we're finally getting there.
Well, I have to ask you the fan question, and I'm a fan as well. You finished second last week behind Kearney. Does that bother the Islanders at all?
Well, you know, I think any time, you know, we haven't done it for such a long time. I mean,
exactly.
You know, that's the first individual bracket tournament that we've not won since like 2011. So, you know, it is something that we take personal, you know, and you know, we've got to be ready to compete every weekend out, and we put some good JV kids in the lineup, and they worked hard and did a good job for us this weekend, but it just wasn't quite enough. And so, you know, it is what it is. It's an early season tournament, and we didn't quite get it done, but we've definitely addressed it, and we're working on putting our team back together and getting back on the mats at full strength.
Mike Schadwinkle, Grand Island Wrestling Coach, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Mike, what have you been pleased with through the first 2 weeks from your team? Chase looks like he's eating up everybody else and or eating everybody up, but you got a lot of kids that have been getting some mat time for you. What are you pleased with so far?
I just think I'm pleased with our general overall effort. You know, we've got a lot of kids that are, you know, really working hard and really put a lot of effort into things. And, you know, I feel good about that. I feel good about the kids. They want to be there. They want to do well. You know, they're used to the pressure, but they're under some pressure. I think our kids are handling it well, and they're excited about it. And so I think those are the biggest things that any coach wants, I think, is they want kids that are dedicated and focused and willing to really put forth an effort. And, you know, we got that.
Mike, is there a kid or two that's new on the roster? Because I can rattle off the kids that are ranked number one or number two, like Billy Thomas and Andrew Rojas, and we talked Chase Reese and Mr. Silva at 195. Is there a new kid or two that we need to keep our eyes open for?
Well, you know, I think some of that stuff's going to come out as time goes on. But, you know, Regal Bargan at 145 is a senior for us that, you know, he won the Carnegie Invite and is undefeated so far. He's one that we're going to have step up and score some points for us. You know, our lightweights have got to continue to develop and get better with Miguel Hernandez at 6 and Skyler Schmidt at 113 and Blake Cohen at 120 and John Model at 126. So those are all very capable kids. We just have to continue with their growth and maturity, and we've got to get something out of those lower weights as the season goes on and on. You know, we got other seniors, Jared Fortune in the lineup at 152 right now. We'll have a new heavyweight in the lineup this week, a senior football player, Casey Townsend, that came out a little late. And, you know, we'll see how he handles things. And, you know, it's, like I said, it's a process. And I think you'll be pleased with what we see out of the Islanders as the season goes on. I fully well expect us to be right in the thick of things and you know, making a run at a potential number 6.
Well, if Amir Abdullah transferred from Nebraska to Ohio State, I know everybody would be asking the coach how he felt. So Dante Rodriguez, your two-time champion, is here in Kearney. They wanted to put the family together. That's whatever it is. But how do you replace him? And obviously, when we talk about the Kearney-Grand Island rivalry, if it's a tournament, that's like a 40-point swing, if not more.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, losing a major point scorer like that and a kid that's you know, almost a guaranteed win every time the team goes out to wrestle. It definitely takes a toll on your team. But, you know, you can't replace a kid like that with one kid. It's got to be kind of a by committee thing. It's got to be, you know, you got to replace that particular weight class with somebody that can score some points. But then you've also got to have two or three other weight classes really step up and score some points. And so, you know, that's kind of how we have to look at it is, you know, we've got our lineup, we've got our team, and he's got his team, and he's doing his thing with his team, and we're going to do our thing with our team. That's all we really can do at this point.
Mike Schadwinkle, head wrestling coach of the 5-time state champions in Grand Island. The Flatwater Fracas, 32 teams, gets underway tomorrow with pool play. Then they get into the excitement, and it's all exciting, but boy, when you break it up and get into the brackets on Saturday for the teams, it's very exciting. Mike, have you taken a second over the last couple of years to just kind of sit back in the event center and smile and say, you know what, we pulled this thing off. This is a pretty darn good event.
You know, there definitely is a little moment or two here and there to just really kind of, just like you said, just kind of take a deep breath and take it all in. And, you know, I try to sneak up, you know, when our team's not wrestling, sneak up top and just kind of look down on all of it. And, you know, it's been our vision to build the premier event in the state of Nebraska. I think we've accomplished that, and it really is a neat thing. It's neat for everybody. It's neat for the wrestling community. It's great for fans of wrestling. It's great for Central Nebraska wrestling. It's great for the community of Grand Island. There's so many people that benefit from this thing that, you know, there's too many people to thank. There's too many people to give kudos to for their work, but, you know, it really has become a fantastic event for our sport, for our kids, for everybody involved.
Teams not only obviously from Nebraska, but Kansas, Colorado, Wyoming will be making the trip. And I know that you like to make sure you see some of those out-state teams. You've got Weld Central Colorado, Topeka, Seaman, Kansas, and then Bellevue East in your pool. Let's start with the out-state teams. Who's the rock of these out-state teams, in your opinion?
Well, you know, I really, Weld Central has been out to our, been out to the fracas. I think this will be their either second or third year that they've been out. You know, they're a little bit smaller school. I'd say they'd probably be, you know, like a Class B school, maybe even a C in Nebraska. But, you know, really it was kind of a, I didn't necessarily just piece everybody together. You know, I tried to get them seeded out pretty well. But, you know, Topeka Seaman was, I think they were second in Kansas in 4A or 5A. So we expect them to be a real nice dual team and a good opponent for us. You know, Bellevue East, we're going to see some good matchups. They've got a ranked wrestler at 113, and then we're going to see number one and number two in the state at 160 with John Porter. I think John's his first name, Porter, and Billy Thompson at 160. So, you know, there's great individual matchups, and I think if you look at about any pool, you're going to see some of those great matchups. But, you know, we expect a good duel with Topeka Seaman. I kind of expect them maybe to be the best team in our pool. You know, Bellevue East, you know, will have good kids, and they're well coached, and we'll get a good duel with them. And Weld Central, honestly, I don't know much about them other than, you know, we've seen them here at the fracas before, so we'll see how things go.
Mike Shadwinkle with us for another minute here on the Doug and Daddy Show, head wrestling coach at Grand Island. As far as the rest of the teams that are rolling in, what's new? I know as far as Nebraska and local teams, Hastings is going to have one of their best teams. Lexington seems to be back close to where they were maybe a decade ago, getting the numbers out there. Some of the normal guys are there. Just your thoughts on the field outside of your pool.
Well, the field definitely got stronger this year. You know, we added Scotts Bluff, we added Lexington, Madison, the Class C state dual champions. You know, then we added the good out of state schools with Topeka Seaman and Meade, Colorado. You know, it's overall. Of course, with Omaha North being up and up right now. You know, Burke's still very strong. It's just going to be an extremely exciting Flatwater Fracas both Friday and Saturday. And for the people that think that Friday is not going to be that great and that everything sets up for Saturday, you're going to be sorely mistaken. In fact, I tell people, get the day off and get over here on Friday and watch it, because there's going to be some great, great matchups. We have four of the five kids in the state of Nebraska that are going for their fourth straight state title. There's five kids doing that this year, and four of them are in this tournament. There's like eight of the top 11 ranked teams in Class A. There's like six of the top 10 in Class B. It's wrestling mecca here this weekend. And if you're a wrestling fan and you're not here, you're missing out.
The action gets underway at 10 a.m. and goes every 90 minutes with a new duel. And the final matches on Friday night get going at 6 and 7:30, and then they'll get into round one at 10:30 with the championship round done at starting at 5 o'clock on Saturday. Some great competition. And, Mike, anything else the fans need to know? Is there anything new that folks will see this year, or are we just going to keep it as good as it always has been?
There's not a whole lot new and different to it other than just the new teams, and hopefully the excitement and energy around this place will be boiling over, and it's going to be a great place to watch wrestling. $7 for an adult, $5 for kids, get you in all day. You can hang around all day and watch wrestling for that price. Quite a deal, in my opinion.
All right, go get that mat tape and get her down, Mike. We will wish you guys the best of luck. Have a great Christmas. We'll talk with you again soon.
Hey, likewise. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike. Mike Shadwinkle, head wrestling coach of the Grand Island Islanders. Pool 1, Central City, Omaha North, Blair, Columbus. Pool 2, Hastings is in with Madison, the C-State dual champion, Manhattan, Kansas, and Lincoln North Star. Pool 3, Adams Central, Scotts Bluff, Lincoln Southwest, Bennington. Pool 4, Grand Island Northwest, Gretna, Omaha, Burke, Smith Center, Kansas. Pool 5, Aurora, North Platte, Papillion, La Vista, Syracuse. Kearney is in Pool 6 with Meade, Colorado, Norfolk, and Lincoln Southeast. Grand Island, as we said, is in with Bellevue East, Topeka Seaman, Kansas, and Weld Central, Colorado. Lexington is in with Nebraska City, Papillion, La Vista South, and Cheyenne East, Wyoming. We'll take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show. Chip Towers, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, talking Georgia football next.
Jerseys has all the games you want to see for the season. Get to Jerseys on Husker game days. Free Jello shots for everyone when the Huskers score a touchdown. Beer and lots of food specials. Jerseys has the full NFL package and offers $3 Bloody Marys all day long. And the best bucket prices in town. Remember, there are specials every night at Jerseys. Happy hour Monday through Friday, 4 to 6. Jerseys Sports Bar and Grill, located in the Vista Point Shopping Center, North Kearney, where the game and the grill are always on.
My name is Deshauna. I'm a stay-at-home mom right now. My financial fears are not being able to have a nest egg or enough money in case we have a family emergency. We just had a baby a year ago, so everything has been extremely tight. We get hit with a $35 account charge monthly. I don't understand where those fees are coming from because right now every penny does count.
There should be an easier way to manage your money. That's the thinking behind American Express Serve, a full-service prepaid account that helps you handle your money simply and affordably. You can reload cash for free at thousands of locations and pay bills online. Plus, you have the 24/7 service of American Express backing you up, all for $1 a month. This is what membership is. This is what membership does.
Now there is no purchase fee when you get an American Express Serve card at CVS Pharmacy or Family Dollar. Offer ends December 31st. Terms and restrictions apply. Go to serve.com for more.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
With partly to mostly cloudy skies across the area today, temperatures will stay fairly steady around the low 30s as northeast winds stay at 10 to 20. For tonight, there's a slight chance for snow showers with a low of 8. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly. Right now, it's 32.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You know, a week ago, till Christmas Eve, minutes a week till Christmas. A week from now, we got to be back at work unless you took that whole holiday break off. And, of course, that's when the Huskers will be heading down to Jacksonville and everybody will be delving into the Gator Bowl. Our Midtown Mark Cooler question of the day. Yesterday, which team will win the NFC North? 64% of you are Bears fans, followed by the Lions and the Packers. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Our Midtown Mark Cooler question today. Who do you have in the NFC South? The Panthers or the Saints? The Saints and Panthers play each other this week, and then the Saints play Tampa Bay, and the Panthers play at Atlanta. Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. Which team will win the NFC South? Well, we know it won't be the Atlanta Falcons. I hope that's not a sore subject with Chip Towers. Atlanta Journal-Constitution joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Chip, good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm fine. The only sore subject around here regarding the Falcons is that they're allowing themselves to win games at this point. They're they're playing for the draft, but football's been kind of tough down in the deep South this year for certainly in the Atlanta area.
Chip, before we dive into Georgia, I'll throw this question out strictly for my brother-in-law, who's been a Falcons fan his whole life. When they get to the draft, what's their number one need? Do we know what they're looking for?
Well, that's really a hotly debated topic right now. You know, O-line or rush end is kind of the talk. And of course, there's going to be teams available. I mean, there's some great players available in that regard. You know, what you hear down here more than anything else is you know, the Falcons need to put themselves in position to draft Jadeveon Clowney. I don't know that they've done that. I don't know that they'll be able to do that. I think they picked 6th or 7th. I apologize. I'm not sure what it is at this point. But and then, of course, Jake Matthews out of Texas A&M is somebody else that they're looking at. But who knows? You know, the draft, that's about as unpredictable as anything once you get past the first pick or two.
We're talking with Chip Towers, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Chip, I got to be honest. I loved our conversations last year a couple of times around this time. I did not fathom us being able to chat about a Nebraska-Georgia bowl game again. I know the fans are kind of puking on their shoes, although up here in Nebraska, I think it's a much better feeling, at least as far about the football game this year than last year. It sounds like down there in Georgia, you all may not want to have anything to do with this game at all, that Georgia maybe hates this more than Nebraska.
Well, you know, that's one of the things that when I look at bowl games, I mean, you know, over all these years that I've covered college football, it's been my experience that you try to identify the team that is going to be most motivated to play in this game. And that's really a hard endeavor when you look at this particular matchup. You know, certainly neither of the fan bases are real excited about, you know, coming to Jacksonville and playing, you know, and watching a game between two teams that played a year ago. You know, I know there's some unrest regarding, you know, Bo Pelini and how things have gone, you know, this season in the past few years. And then Georgia, you know, Georgia came into the season, you know, a top five team and with national championship on the mind. You know, they have plenty of built-in excuses. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the injury typhoon that swamped this team, but, you know, it did, and it affected it profoundly. But the fact of the matter is, you know, Georgia fans aren't fired up about going back to Jacksonville, a place they play every year anyway. Georgia plays Florida in Jacksonville late October, early November every year, just as they did earlier this year against Florida. So, and then everybody was kind of, you know, keen on a Georgia-Michigan game. Not that, you know, it's just the fact that you already played Nebraska last year. Georgia hasn't played Michigan in 49 years, hasn't played them since they beat them in Ann Arbor in 1965. So there was some intrigue about, you know, possibly playing, you know, the Big Blue for the first time in 5 decades. And it just didn't work out that way, which is the way bowls go sometimes. But, you know, come New Year's Day, both these teams, you know, I can promise you, once they tee it up, they'll be very motivated to win. Both of them will want a 9th win very desperately, put on the end of these weird, wild, wacky seasons.
Well, Chip, as much as the injuries have been in Georgia, that's definitely been a storyline in Lincoln, and I think maybe that's what these coaches are going to be trying to sell their teams. This is definitely an audition, not only for the quarterbacks, but for a lot of these guys for 2014, but definitely the quarterbacks. And tell us about Aaron Murray's replacement in Hudson Mason, who maybe transformed himself in a half of football against Georgia Tech.
Yeah, well, you know, the silver lining to losing Aaron Murray, who leads Georgia, you know, as the SEC's all-time passing leader, passing yards, total offense, touchdowns. Obviously, Nebraska fans know about him from last year's game. He throws 5 touchdown passes. Truly a special, special player. But the silver lining in all that is Hudson Mason is patiently waited. In fact, they redshirted Hudson Mason last year just to build a year between him and Aaron Murray. He's been the heir apparent for a long time, waited 4 years for a chance to get the keys to the car, and he's finally gotten them, and he got them early. He got them in the second half against Kentucky, played very well in against an overmatched opponent, and then brought Georgia back from 20 points down against arch rival Georgia Tech in the final game of the regular season. So clearly that was a great deal of growth for Hudson Mason. But, you know, looking long-term into the future, asking him to just do what Aaron Murray did is going to be a very tall task. And, I mean, I think a lot of Georgia fans just have it in their minds that Hudson Mason is going to do what Aaron Murray did because it's the same offense and a lot of the same skill players. But, I mean, I truly believe, having, you know, watched him closely for the last 4 years, that Aaron Murray is really, truly a special kind of player. So, you know, this game is for, just as Nebraska is with their quarterback situation, you know, another, it's more about next year than it is this game. It's more about Hudson Mason getting more experience and getting prepared for the 2014 season, just as it is with Nebraska's quarterbacks.
Talk with Chip Towers of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Doug Duda with you on this Thursday. And I'll tell you what, for most every Saturday down there, Chip, win, lose, or draw, this Georgia team was exciting to watch. There were points being scored. Just about every game was close, playing in the SEC, obviously, almost every week, a great opponent. But Isaiah, if you just pick up the stat sheet and you look at it, and outside of Aaron Murray, and you got Gurley that did what he did and then had that injury, as you guys said, and then has come back from that, how has this team been successful? What is it that got it done in the wins for this team?
Well, you know, they're just the offense. I think the offensive system and the offensive skill players that Georgia has been able to compile the last past couple of years are pretty impressive. In fact, I'm sitting here working on a blog right now that I'm going to put up on AJC.com shortly. Your listeners will be able to access it. It's just on what Georgia was able to do despite missing an unbelievable amount of skill talent. You know, Todd Gurley, as you mentioned, I mean, this guy's going to be at front of the Heisman discussion last year. He ends up missing, you know, a total of four games when you put missed quarters and everything all together with ankle and quadricep injuries. You know, he averages 138 yards per game, scores 15 touchdowns. You know, playing in eight games, he's just an incredible athlete, and everything's kind of built around him. But Georgia lost their leading receiver on the first touchdown of the year, the second possession of the season. Malcolm Mitchell goes up to leap in celebration with Todd Gurley, tears his ACL. I mean, he's their top wide receiver. He's out. Justin Scott Wesley and Keith Marshall, the backup tailback that was filling in for Todd Gurley at the time, tears his knee up. Scott Wesley, their second leading receiver, goes down in the Tennessee game. He's out for the year. But all said and done, without going down, including Aaron Murray, that's eight of your top skill position players missed multiple games this season, yet they were still able to average nearly 40 points and well over 500 yards per game. I think that's a testament to offensive coordinator Mike Bobo, and then obviously the depth you've been able to build, you know, on the offensive side of the ball, and certainly in the offensive line.
Nebraska's defense, horrific at the beginning of the year, is obviously the most improved part of the Nebraska football team this year. What about the Georgia defense that lost so many studs to the next level of football last year?
Well, I mean, I think this is what makes this a good matchup, you know, overall when you look at the two teams. I know Georgia's favored, but, you know, clearly their defense has been extremely vulnerable this year, particularly to the pass. I think that's what the Cornhuskers are going to have to do, whether they like to or not. I think they're going to have to try to exploit Georgia through the air. They're 10th and 11th in the SEC and, you know, in passing allowed and pass efficiency. They're actually pretty good against the run. They're pretty decent overall. Very young unit. You know, eight first-year starters on that side of the ball. They'll have 10 returning starters on defense next year. So they're just a very young unit, but they can definitely be exploited in the back end. That's going to be the challenge for Nebraska. Certainly, they like to run the ball very effectively, but they need to find ways, you know, to get the ball in the air and exploit Georgia's secondary, because it can be exploited.
Last minute here with Chip Towers of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution talking Georgia Bulldog football as we get ready for the Gator Bowl. Something else I looked at, and honestly, as far as watching Georgia football, you know, you watch and then you turn the channel and you see what else is going on when we're not watching Husker games. But when I look here, Nebraska fans are all up in arms about special teams up here and not rushing the punter. I'm looking that Georgia's special teams, you got a nice place kicker, but especially in the punting game, what's going on there?
Oh man, it's you know, this is they're beating the drums down here for change of any kind. Georgia doesn't have a dedicated special teams coordinator, and that's what all the fans are kind of pining for this year. It was a horrific year for special teams. In fact, you know, Georgia lost the game to Vanderbilt, and at the time they were without Gurley and Marshall and Scott Wesley and Malcolm Mitchell and Chris Conley and Michael Bennett for that game. A lot of their best offensive players, but it took a perfect storm of special teams disasters and, you know, targeting penalties, just weird things that happened for Georgia to lose to them for the first time in 21 years to Vanderbilt, and that ended up being just a huge loss for them. And part of that, they had dropped punts, blocked punts, muffed punts, field goal for touchdown, just a disaster. Kickoff return for a touchdown they gave up, and that's certainly an area that Nebraska's got to be looking at that and licking their chops. And, you know, so you break it down, offense, defense, special teams, turnovers. You know, that's one they can definitely win. Now, they have a great field goal kicker. Marshall Morgan was named consensus All-SEC, coaches, writers, all that kind of stuff. He's good. He's good from long. He was terrible as a freshman, and he was great as a sophomore. So, you know, they certainly have that to lean on. But Georgia's got a walk-on punter handling those duties, and they kind of got it shored up toward the end of the year. But at that point, it had already cost them some ball games.
And, Chip, final football question, because I know up here at Nebraska, you know, every loss is just like the end of the world. And when you lose to somebody like a Minnesota, they go, oh, you know, that's when speculation starts. But a Minnesota shows up and they're not as bad as everybody thought and so on and so forth. I'm sure at the time the loss to Missouri looked terrible and losing to Auburn stinks. But one of the other losses is to Clemson. And you see where those three teams ended up the season. Georgia is scary again. But it all comes down to attitude at bowl time. Can you get a sense on the Georgia attitude from the players, or is it too early right now?
Well, I think it helps a little bit that so much of this team is about next year. I mean, just like you said about Nebraska, I mean, there's a lot of people debuting, you know, the defense. They're all coming back, so they want to prove that they're going to be a positive rather than a negative next year. You got the Hudson Mason thing. I mean, he's totally – focus. That works in Georgia's favor, you know. I mean, I think that that Hudson Mason is completely focused on showing out. And this is a really, really good Georgia football team. And I mean, I believe that I don't think they were overrated at the beginning of the year when they were getting a top, maybe slightly overrated. I thought they might be a top 10 team, maybe not top five, but they had some questions on defense. But an unbelievably explosive offensive football team that can really do a lot of things with the football when they're all healthy. And, you know, that's what a lot of people are thinking about around Georgia is what might have been if this team could have kept it together and stayed off the injury list. But, you know, it is what it is. And the games that they did, I mean, who'd have thought during the season Georgia wasn't concerned about Missouri and Vanderbilt? They won the games they were concerned about. They beat a number 6 ranked South Carolina team. They beat a number 6 ranked LSU team. They very well could have beaten Clemson in Clemson on that night. They had Auburn beat except for another one of Auburn's miracles. I don't know if you guys saw that game, but, I mean, it took they call it the immaculate deflection now that took place with 25 seconds left at Jordan-Hare Stadium. I mean, this is a really, really, really good Georgia team that has potential for way more than they showed this season.
Well, Chip, we'll let you go. I'm sure you got some Christmas shopping left to do.
Oh, I have so much left to do.
Well, Chip, hopefully we can grab you again maybe the day before the game and find out the final thoughts. But we always appreciate your time on the Doug and Daddy Show. Have a Merry Christmas.
You got it. We'll talk once we get down there.
Sounds good. Folks, you can follow Chip Towers on his Twitter, at AJCUGA. You can go to AJC.com, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. As he said, a new article up again today. Chip Towers, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And don't forget, folks, to get your Doug and Daddy Bowl Bonanza entry forms filled out. The only place you can find them is online at ESPNSuperstation.com. Just fill out the form, which is basically your name, how we can contact you if you win, and then you click on the winner of each bowl game, starting with the Military Bowl. Deadline is December 27th, but you know you better do it before Christmas. We don't want you to forget. We've got great, great prizes from Cunningham's, Big Daly's Deli, Troutman's Quality Meats, Russell's Appliance and Electronics, and so much more. You can find out all the information on the Doug and Daddy Bowl Bonanza at ESPNSuperstation.com. Luke Hoover answers your fantasy football questions from RotoWire right after this.
Come on in.
You already know where you're going to be at midnight on New Year's Eve. We know where you should be for dinner. Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill in Hastings, and I would like to invite you to join us for dinner on New Year's Eve. We will be offering prime rib and succulent crab legs starting at 5 p.m. until the steam pot is empty. And don't forget to designate a driver. HK Sports Bar and Grill, located at West J Street and Highway 6 in Hastings.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
What's it feel like when you start working on your own car with parts and advice from AutoZone? It's like trading in a salad for all-you-can-eat bacon, wrapped in bacon, with a side of bacon.
Right now at AutoZone, save $2 instantly on gallon jugs of Prestone coolant to protect your engine from the cold.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
See store for restrictions and details.
Got a golfer to give a gift to? Good thing there's Golfsmith. Their team gets golfers. You could even say they're experts. Actually, that's what they are. Golf gift experts. And they know the perfect gift for your golfer, whether they're a local legend or a dedicated duffer.
Found it!
With the best selection of clubs, clothes and high-tech gadgets, all at the lowest prices, guaranteed. Only Golfsmith has the expertise you need to help you give the perfect round. Shop Golfsmith and Golfsmith.com's can't-miss gifts.
Sunday night, NFC playoff possibilities are up for grabs when Chip Kelly's high-flying Eagles meet up with Jay Cutler and the Chicago Bears. Hi, this is Kevin Kugler of Westwood One. Join Hall of Famer James Lofton and me for all the action from the Subway Fresh broadcast booth in Philadelphia. The Eagles are trying to keep pace in the NFC East and are desperate for a win. The Bears are hoping to take a big step towards the playoffs with a road victory. Bears, Eagles, if it's the NFL, it's right here.
Sunday night on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
With partly to mostly cloudy skies across the area today, temperatures will stay fairly steady around the low 30s as northeast winds stay at 10 to 20. For tonight, there's a slight chance for snow showers with a low of 8. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 32.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, where it is time now for our Fanatics Fantasy Football Report, brought to you by Fanatics on the Bricks in downtown Kearney, your fantasy football headquarters. Even though there's only a couple of weeks to go, if you're still in it, then that's where the Christmas cash is on the line.
It's time for a fantasy football update with fantasy football expert Luke Hoover of RotoWire.com. Send in your fantasy football questions now and let Luke guide your fantasy team to a championship.
And Luke Hoover of RotoWire and RotoWire.com joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Merry Christmas, Luke.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for having me on.
It's been a great season, For some, for others, I'm sure not. I'll be honest, I've got one league that goes year-long, a couple of them that go year-long, but the couple I was in the playoffs, bye-bye. But for a lot of people, they are headed into their Super Bowl this weekend. I know folks would like to find a better way to end the season because you hate to pin your whole world on Week 16 in the NFL, but there are no better solutions, are there?
You know, there's always the different playoff challenges that they do, you know, for the teams that make it in advance into the playoffs, that you can kind of play those week-to-week, games. And I've stuck to more so the regular season action. It's where, you know, I really enjoy it. But I prefer leagues that end in week 16. You know, the week 17 games, you just never know what you're going to get with some stars that might end up sitting out games, you know, whether if their teams have clinched the playoffs or, maybe they have nothing left to play for if their teams are, you know, some of the worst in the league.
You know what, Luke, before we jump into the questions here, it doesn't seem like this year there's as many teams, especially on the winning end, there's nobody that's dominated that is going to coast into the playoffs and sit a lot of their guys. And maybe even a team like the Houston Texans, I mean, they're beat up at some of the skill positions, so whoever they put in there, they're going to want to perform well. Is there a team or two out there that you need to avoid this weekend?
You know, none come to mind, really. Like you said, it's one of those years. It's kind of been a bit unusual. There's been a lot of injuries, so, you know, you've seen guys that have stepped into starting roles that are really trying to prove themselves. You know, maybe a guy like Rashad Jennings in Oakland, you know, he's got a lot to play for because he might be the starting back there next year or a starter somewhere else. You know, he's been fantastic this year. But a lot of teams, you know, like you said, they haven't really wrapped up, you know, first-round buys or home field, you know, throughout the playoffs, things like that, even Seattle. Could actually fall behind, the Niners if somehow they were to lose out and the Niners win out, something crazy like that, but they still have something to play for as well.
All right, let's get into the questions, folks. Again, if you've got a fantasy football question for Luke Hoover of RotoWire, you can email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy. Spell out the word and, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Our Twitter address is at ESPN1460-1550. And, of course, Facebook is at ESPN Superstation. Let's start with Jason today. Which quarterback, Nick Foles or Matt Stafford?
You know, that's got to be Foles for me. The Bears' defense is pretty dreadful in general. And, you know, Foles is just playing a lot better football than Stafford right now. So even though, you know, Stafford's going to be at home with the Giants, I'd like Foles a little better.
Let's go to Scott in Kearney. Ryan Tannehill or Fitzgerald?
You know, it's closer than you would think because Tannehill's played great in recent weeks, but Fitz is coming off, you know, one of his best games of his career. I would still give a slight edge to Tannehill, but you probably want to pay attention to, you know, what the weather's going to be like in Buffalo. If conditions are really bad, you could, you know, make that switch to Fitz on Sunday.
Kind of hard to believe anybody be playing for their league's championship with that as your quarterback option. Let's go to, this is from Pigs in Kearney. Is Dennis Johnson worth playing for the Texans? I had Tate.
I probably wouldn't start him. You know, we haven't seen him be the feature back outside of one showing against Jacksonville, where he kind of took over for Tate. And he had a pretty nice game in that contest, but Jacksonville doesn't have the run defense that Denver does. And there's a good chance, you know, Houston's getting blown out, and Johnson's just not going to see enough touches, at least not rushing the ball.
We're talking with Luke Hoover from RotoWire here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Let's continue on with James in Grand Island. Let's see, Cam Newton or Nick Foles?
I would put Foles up there in the top five all quarterbacks this week, and I would start him over Cam. Newton, you know, is going to have a lot to prove, and it's a big game for them to win with New Orleans coming to town. But the New Orleans pass rush is pretty strong. Like I said before, Chicago doesn't play defense, you know, very well against the pass or the run.
Now, if you go online and look at rotowire.com, they actually have Nick Foles as their number two quarterback of the week behind Peyton Manning. Cam's down at around 12. You've also got Kirk Cousins at number six. I know that's kind of a staff deal. Do you agree with that, Luke?
Yeah, you know, I would put him probably closer to 10, but I'd say he's pretty much comfortably in that top 10, given how bad the Dallas defense has been. He's got, you know, home game. You know, showed up last week with a big outing, you know, almost 400 yards, three touchdowns, turned it over a bit, but I think the yardage in this, you know, will be there. The scores, you know, I would be surprised to see him get a couple again this week as well.
Running back can play two of these three: Le'Veon Bell, Frank Gore, Shady McCoy.
Well, you're not going to bench McCoy going against the Bears. This could be a monster game for him, you know, versus that run defense. Are the worst in the league, and it's not even close. Between Bell and Frank Gore, I'd probably give an edge to Bell this week. The Packers haven't stopped the run at all, you know, as well lately. Murray ran through them last week for Dallas, and they've been pretty bad ever since Rodgers went down. Gore, you know, could get limited, and that's a game they should win pretty handily against Atlanta.
You know, Luke, we kind of, or I did, made a little fun a minute ago of a quarterback situation getting to the Super Bowl. Well, here's a team you can figure out why they're in their league championship, because they have to play two of these three wide receivers: Calvin Johnson, Dez Bryant, Pierre Garçon.
Well, you can't bench Calvin Johnson. You know, I know he actually had a couple drops this last week, didn't even hit 100 yards, I believe, but you're just not going to bench him. Between the other two, it's actually a lot closer than it should be, but I would probably still give a slight edge to Dez Bryant. New Washington's defense really isn't that much better than Dallas's, and he's coming off a really great game. They need the win desperately, so you can imagine he'll be involved a lot in the passing game.
Luke, we got to get in James' league next year. He's got Megatron, Dez Bryant, and LeSean McCoy. Who's drafted in this thing? How did he get all three of them? Must have been a great trade.
Pretty amazing.
Must have been a great trade. Let's move on here. Ryan says, I got a couple questions for you today. Jay Cutler or Andy Dalton?
I would go with Cutler. You know, Chicago is going to have to throw it quite a bit because I don't think their defense can slow Philly at all. And Philly's still one of the worst pass defenses in the league. He also has those, you know, twin towers in Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall.
Rashad Jennings or Shane Vereen?
you know, in the games that Jennings has started, he's been, you know, incredibly productive in double figures in all of them so far this year. I would have to give him the edge. I think Vreen will bounce back after a really disappointing week, you know, last week against Miami, but I still, you know, like Jennings a little bit more because he's going to be featured more heavily.
Jack has two running backs to start in a PPR league, LaShawn McCoy, Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, Danny Woodhead, Frank Gore.
You know, as I said before, McCoy, I think, is probably the number one or two back this week. You know, obviously you can argue for Charles, but the matchup is just too nice. And I could see Frank Gore being limited. He also isn't catching the ball out of the backfield. You know, we just saw Charles absolutely shred the Raiders out of the backfield catching the football. So I like Danny Woodhead to have a nice game this week. I would probably give Woodhead a slight edge in PPR.
Like to hear that. Okay, let's go to Jordan here. He says, this is a standard league. I need two. Alfred Morris, Steven Jackson, Dennis Johnson, Andre Brown.
Two of these?
Two of these is correct. Two of those four.
You know, that's tough because both Steven Jackson and Andre Brown have tough matchups. You know, but Jackson has been able to get into the end zone recently. I don't really see him doing that against the Niners. I would have to say play Alfred Morris, you know, because the matchup is nice with Dallas. At the same time, you know, he's been a little bit struggling lately. He had the two fumbles last week. And I think I could see Andre Brown bouncing back, you know, against Detroit. The run defense is strong, but, you know, Ray Rice managed to have decent production against them. And he's just going to have to be involved, particularly with Victor Cruz, you know, banged up dealing with the concussion.
Another minute here with Luke Hoover of RotoWire answering your fantasy football questions. And our fantasy football segment is brought to you by Fanatics on the Bricks downtown Kearney. Trent says, running back, I can play two of these three, Pierre Thomas, Andre Ellington, D'Angelo Williams.
Well, Ellington's coming off the big game, but now he has to go into Seattle, so I really don't expect a, you know, an encore from him. Pierre Thomas has got a tough matchup with Carolina, but you know he's good out of the backfield catching the ball. So I'll go Pierre Thomas, and I'm sorry, you know I'm blanking on the third option.
D'Angelo, he's
a little better than Andre Ellington, you know, given the matchups.
What's the deal? I mean, fantasy guys get frustrated. Fantasy owners get frustrated on these teams that play multiple backs like New Orleans. After Darren Sproles kind of had a career game, it's like we've hardly heard from him. Now, he did play last week, but Sproles, Thomas, is there any way to determine which one's going to get the most touches?
No, that's, you know, with an offense like that that spreads the ball around, it's impossible to really tell. But Thomas has gotten more consistent touches throughout the year. So I think he's definitely more trustworthy than Sproles at this point. And, you know, he's going to get more carries, certainly, and he's been very productive as a receiver. You know, Sproles has been really hit or miss as far as, you know, even getting the snaps. He's not even been on the field near as much as Thomas this season. So I would probably still give Thomas an edge, you know, as well as that, you know, he's if they are going to hand off near the goal line, he's probably going to be the guy to get it.
Wide receiver, Kendall Wright, Robert Woods, Denarius Moore.
It's got to be Kendall Wright, you know, coming off a huge game, 150 yards this last week and 20 targets, which led, you know, everyone in the league last week. I don't expect Tennessee to throw it nearly as much as they did. You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick had almost 60 attempts, you know, with Jacksonville coming or, you know, on the docket. But they, he's just been too consistent this season. Those other guys are really iffy, and Denarius Moore has been hurt, and I'm not 100% sure if he's going to be suited up.
All right, Luke, we've got the point that you love LaShawn McCoy. You've thrown out a couple of names there. Is there anybody that we need to bench that we normally would play?
Well, you know what? You might have to bench him either way because he might not be active. You know, his coach, Bruce Arians, is insisting that he will be, but Larry Fitzgerald hasn't been cleared of a concussion yet. But if he is active, I'm probably not going to play him on the road against Seattle. Carson Palmer's banged up, and that would probably go for Michael Floyd as well. I think that whole Arizona offense is really going to struggle this week. So I would sit down Fitz if he's active.
Any other injuries? I see Chris Johnson's questionable, but when you see that Q, it's just and then they play every week. Are there any other major injuries out there?
Yeah, I'm not really worried so much about Chris Johnson. The guy's, you know, hasn't missed a game in his career that I can think of off the top of my head. He's been, you know, surprisingly durable given his frame and everything. But Wes Welker, you know, still hasn't been cleared of the concussion. So you want to pay attention to him. And now Jordan Cameron, you know, apparently he suffered a concussion this last week, and he might be out for Cleveland. So you pay attention to those guys to see if they get cleared. You know, obviously the big one as far as injuries to pay attention to is Aaron Rodgers. No word as yet if he'll be cleared medically to play, but I think that announcement will probably come in the next couple of days. That could change a lot of things for a bunch of owners, particularly, you know, owners of the Packer receivers.
All right. It sounds great, Luca. We'll have you on once again to wrap up the season, kind of look back and maybe get a few prognostications for 2014. Have a great Christmas, Luca. Always appreciate the time on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Thanks. You guys have a good holiday, too.
Take care. Luke Hoover, RotoWire, RotoWire.com, and our Doug and Daddy Fanatics Fantasy Football Challenge. Maybe you're done with your regular leagues. That doesn't mean you have to be done with fantasy football. We still have 2 weeks to go in the Doug and Daddy Challenge. The beauty is there is a winner every week. It is a weekly contest. It's not adding up from the year. And all you have to do to play is go to our website at ESPNSuperstation.com. Same place where you fill out the bowl bonanza. You can sign up for the Doug and Daddy Fanatics Fantasy Football Challenge. First prize every week is a $25 gift card to Fanatics. Second is a free large pizza. And if you win, you go into our year-end drawing for a $200 Super Bowl party for you and your friends at Fanatics. Fanatics Fantasy Football Challenge. Go to the ESPNSuperstation.com website. Doug and Daddy Show is there with our Fanatics Fantasy Football Challenge. Eddie from Midway's with us here in the Doug and Daddy Studios as they're keeping busy, pushing some automobiles off the lot. Everything's going here with a beautiful week to look at some new vehicles, some pre-owned vehicles for Christmas. Of course, the end of the year right around the corner, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, yep. South 2nd Avenue. Just checking out thinkmidway.com. I like the looks of some of those Dodges out there, my friend.
Oh, they're nice. 2013 Big Finish event going on through Chrysler right now. And I'll tell you what, down there at Midway Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram, we are blowing everything right out the doors. Right now, you can receive up to $10,000 off a brand new 2013 three-quarter ton diesel truck, up to $10,000 off. And for all you small business owners out there, there actually is a couple different incentives and stuff that you can go ahead and qualify for. I know that Uncle Sam wants you to spend some money at times, and they can go ahead and make it enticing for you to do so. So if you are a small business owner, make sure you let us all know down there at Midway Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram. But the big thing is right now is they're trying to get rid of those 2013s. We've done a pretty good job of it so far. We've got about 125 brand new vehicles down there on the location. Only about 20 of them right now are actually 2013s that are still left over brand new. We actually got 5 Dodge Darts. I'll tell you what, that's a fantastic vehicle. MSRP on those things can be anywhere from about $18,000 up to $24,000. Right now you're seeing discounts in excess up to, roughly right around that $2,500 to $3,200 mark. So if you're looking for something that's going to be sporty, four-door, economical, kind of make people's necks snap when you drive by, this is the vehicle. We still got 10 2013 Ram 1500, 2500, and 1 tons left. The best thing I can tell you guys is these vehicles won't be around for long. We need to go ahead and liquidate, move these things right off of the lot. So if you're looking for a great deal on a brand new Ram, there's only one place to go. It's Midway Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram. Just a lot of huge, exciting things going on. There's actually going to be some new product unveilment coming up here. Actually just got our first couple Jeep Cherokees, not the Grand Cherokee, but the Jeep Cherokee about a month and a half ago. I think we've actually only received a couple of them, but we sold 5 of them somehow. Math doesn't work on that, but I promise I'm not lying. There might be some smoke in the mirrors, but don't worry. We'll get a fan out. But there's a lot of great things going on. Just come on down, see Chad Randall's, talk to Jaden Roberts, John Rickert, the whole gang down there. We've got a great selection. We've got a great team, great staff down there. And once again, if you're looking to spend a little bit of dough before the end of the year just because your tax guy's telling you to, or heck, it's just because you need a different vehicle, get on down there, Midway Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram.
That's good stuff, man. Yeah. You got a Husker prediction for me?
Husker prediction?
Or is it too early?
I think we got a lot of I think this is going to be a good year for these young players. It's a good break. I'm going to be optimistic. And I'm going to go ahead and say we hold them to about 17 points. And I think we score 27. I think we win by 10.
You are the optimist. And I love it, though. I love it. Andy, have a great Christmas. We'll talk to you again.
Hey, you too, buddy.
That's Andy from your Midway Auto Dealerships. See him on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney or thinkmidway.com. And we've got more on the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
ESPN Superstation Sports Center.
Good afternoon. I'm Mike Will, the SportsCenter update on ESPN. ESPN and the Big Ten Conference announced today that Nebraska's Big Ten home opener against Michigan on January 9th will be televised by ESPN2 and will tip off at 8 o'clock at the Pinnacle Bank Arena. The Huskers are 7-3 in the season following a 79-67 win over Arkansas State on Saturday and have won 8 straight home games dating back to last season. The Huskers will play the Citadel coming up this Saturday at 7:30 in Lincoln. The Husker women will play South Dakota at 2:30. Nebraska's senior outside hitter Kelsey Robinson has been named a first-team All-American by the American Volleyball Coaches Association. Robinson was one of 14 players on the first team. She recorded 530 kills this season and was named the Player of the Year in the Big Ten Conference. Nebraska freshman outside hitter Katie Ralston was named to the third team. Setter Mary Pohlmiller and middle blocker Megan Haggerty were honorable mention. Two junior college recruits for the 2014 class signed with Nebraska yesterday. The first day junior college prospects could sign with their respective schools. Myerson Cockrell, a 6'2", 190-pound quarterback from East Mississippi Community College, and Joe Keels, a 6'4", 275-pound defensive end from Highland, Kansas Community College, both signed letters of intent to play for the Huskers. Cockrell had 33 tackles, 3 interceptions, and 4 pass breakups this year for East Mississippi, which won the Junior College National Championship. Blake Fruchtel of Hastings College has been named the Wrestler of the Week in the Great Plains Athletic Conference. Fruchtel finished second at the York College Open last week. He advanced to the championship match at 141 pounds and lost to 6th-ranked Brandon Wright at a Grandview College. The Nebraska Kearney men's and women's basketball teams will host Lindenwood University tomorrow night at the Health and Sports Center. The women will tip off at 5:30. The men will follow at 7:30. That's a sports update on ESPN. I'm Mike Will.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Don't forget tomorrow, Jim Langan joins me. We look at our bowl selections, get a few more picks from Jimmy before we head into the bowl season. We are going to be live for the second straight Friday, this time at Wilkie's True Value, 1314 East 25th Street in Kearney. We're going to get you set up for those holiday. I hate to say the last minute because, to me, tomorrow isn't even close to the last minute for holiday shopping or Christmas shopping. And they've got great items, whether it's Christmas gifts or if you're getting something for a variety of different folks. Maybe you're getting something for yourself. They've got everything from what you need for the kitchen to what you need for the garage to what you need for yourself. It's all there at Wilkie's True Value. The Doug and Daddy Show will be live from 11 to 12 tomorrow. Again, that's 1314 East 25th Street. Of course, basically East Highway 30 here in Kearney, and we will be there tomorrow with all the latest from Wilkie's True Value. I think we've covered just about everything there is to cover on the Doug and Daddy Show. Again, former UNK All-American basketball player Eric Strand will be inducted into the RMAC Hall of Fame. The new class was announced last night. Strand joins Daniel Shum of the Lopers, who was a standout volleyball player, as the only UNK athletes to receive that honor. I imagine that in the future we'll see at least a couple of the Loper coaches go into that Hall of Fame as well. So congratulations to Eric Strand. He is going to go into the Hall of Fame. We'll talk more about that when that gets closer this summer and this July. Well, that's going to wrap things up. Don't forget that the NCAA Volleyball Final Four is tonight, and the action will be on ESPN2, Texas and Wisconsin at 6:30, followed by Penn State and Washington at approximately 8:30, with the final coming up on Saturday. High school basketball tonight. It is Gibbon at Ravenna on Classic Hits 98.9, Grand Island Central Catholic at Minden on The Breeze 94.5 FM, and Platte River Preps. Going to have some Husker football talk, Husker recruiting coming up tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll also be talking with Jimmy Langan and more high school for the weekend, kind of get you into that Christmas mood. From Wilkie's True Value, we want to thank Chip Towers of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution for talking a little Georgia Bulldog football with us, Luke Hoover of RotoWire answering your fantasy football questions, and Grand Island head wrestling coach Mike Shadwinkle joined us to preview the Flatwater Fracas. If you missed any of it, go to our podcast at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug Goodison, having a good day, folks. We'll see you tomorrow here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Drew. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!